Hey guys, excited this morning. Got a guest, Clayton Anderson, coming in. I mean, this guy, literally super sick McCarty. I mean, he got his big break by winning Kenny Chesney's like next big star competition. And since then, that was like years ago. Since then, he's opened up for, you may have heard like the, Eric Church, Jason Aldean, Lee Bryce, some of those artists.
Darius Rucker.
Big acts like that. And he's actually has a new single out right now, In the Dark. He released an EP last month, Only to Borrow, which guys, y'all will get to hear him play at the end. And also, he's going to play that song that he won the contest with Kenny Chesney with, which is really cool.
Hasn't played it in 3 years. Like, exclusive.
We got the exclusive. So you want to make sure you listen all the way through. Guys, thanks for tuning in. And make sure you don't miss any of our episodes. Why would you want to miss like really great stories and unbelievable music? So make sure you follow me at Donald S. Jenkins on all social medias and the Nashville Hits Collecting Dust Facebook page. Enjoy.
Some nights you chase, some nights you follow. Hold on to me, let go tomorrow. When it all ends, don't feel no sorrow. It ain't meant to last, won't let 'em borrow.
Hey, this is Clayton Anderson, and I'm hanging out with Donald Jenkins from Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Yeah. Like yoga pants. Oh, yeah. Are y'all complaining about pretty people?
It was a uniform. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it wasn't reality once you leave there and you go to like actually Cincinnati and you're like,
it's like,
what?
People aren't gorgeous and perfect.
Like, what?
You Cincy people.
Hey, man.
Yeah. It's true, though. Well, man. Good. They're so. I fell in love with this one girl.
Just one?
Well, each year is a new one, but it was, oh, man, there were some pretty ones.
I love that quote, though. I love that city. There's a lot of pretty girls there. Yeah. You know what? I say that about Nashville, too.
Are there, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. There's just so many star chasers down here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, oh, man, she just wants to be famous.
Well.
Like chasing the people that are going to be famous.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like the Jersey Chasers.
Yeah.
All growing up.
Yep.
Donald got that in Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, it was easy to be the star in Alabama, but you get here, and I'm like, I got to compete with people like you.
Oh,
like,
no.
Let's be honest.
No. It is competitive, though. It's funny. When I first moved here, I was like, why am I even trying this? It's like so many talented people. I'm like, I'm not better than they are.
Oh.
So it's like, it's crazy.
Well, we're going to get your story here. How's that?
All right.
Well, let's start it out. By the way, we started recording a little bit while ago, so I hope you didn't say anything you didn't want to.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I got love in Miami of Ohio, girls.
Y'all know.
Awesome. Hey, let's get started. Hey, guys, thanks for tuning in. It's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Excited today because I got a Clayton Anderson in. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm good. Very, very good. It's a winter has actually showed up in Nashville today.
I tell you, I'm already over the time change. I feel like it's dark all the time, and now it's actually cold in Nashville, but oh well.
Yeah.
You were just in Cincinnati last night, right?
Last month.
Yeah, we were actually in Indianapolis this weekend for the Big Ten football championship, so that was pretty cool, pretty crazy, pretty wild.
Yeah, so I'm an Auburn fan.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, man, that SEC getting the sour over there.
Let's just move on to another topic.
That was bad,
wasn't it? So, any other year, maybe we'll talk a lot about that, but not today. Maybe that's why I love perseverance, overcoming fear, and rejection is because I'm an Auburn fan. And that's what you have to, you know, learn to do.
Well, at least you guys have won one. I went to Indiana University and we had a great football coach and we were about ready to turn the tide and now we just fired him. So it's just kind of like, what the heck?
I know.
God. What the heck?
Big
basketball school. We're rolling in that. We've already got two top five wins. I mean,
that's
come
huge.
On, snow time.
That's great.
Oh, well, hey, I was, doing a little prep work on you, sir. And so you started playing music in college.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. So is it true that, like, right after college, you're like, yeah, I'm probably not going to? Did you decide to try to walk away? And then all of a sudden you're like, well, tell us the story about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it started back in high school. My senior year of high school, you know, I mean, where I'm from, if you played basketball in Southern Indiana, you were kind of treated like a god.
Okay.
So then I got to college, struggled. I was like, why won't these girls just talk to me?
So you're you didn't have like a great crossover or something in basketball?
No, well, I could have went to a small school and played, but I, you know, it's like the
you
schools.
Got the
we, yeah, the schools we went to visit, they wouldn't even buy you shoes, and we had everything bought for us.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not doing this. Okay. I'm done. I'm hanging it up. But yeah, so I got to college and then played all through college. We were a really crappy cover band, but we had a lot of fun. We had more fun than anybody. We had epic hot tub parties that were just off the hook. And then, I mean, Christian hot tub parties.
Sure.
And, I mean, nothing.
I wasn't going anywhere.
And this was all pre-social media,
yeah,
right?
Pre-social media.
Pre-social media.
It was still, I don't know. There were a couple of things that went around. Thank God Instagram wasn't popping too hard yet.
Right.
Then, so.
Gotcha.
Right.
Snapchat was definitely not there yet. So
there might be a couple of Polaroids probably hanging up.
I graduated in like 2006 and then, I kind of kept fooling around, making excuses because I didn't want to, as my friend said, I didn't want to grow up.
Sure.
Yeah. But I just want to play music, you know, it was fun. And if I got a real job, then I had to quit playing because obviously it's a late night. And then we ended up getting to we won a Kenny Chesney competition called The Next Big Star.
I saw that.
Riverbend.
Hold on. Tell me about that because this is something you just sign up for.
Yeah. So I was just fooling around. I started my own landscaping business because that allowed me to do what I wanted to with the music, and I could push people's yards off to the next week. I had a lot of disgruntled customers. They're like, "Are you going to mow my yard?" Yeah, man. I'll get to it next week. But then I started getting into home mortgage right before it tanked.
Okay,
and that was kind of going good. But this lady I was working for doing some of her yard work. We're like building a waterfall or something. She comes out. She's like, "You should really sign up for this Kenny Chesney Next Big Star thing." I was like, "Oh yeah, whatever, sure." It's like, okay,
sure,
yeah,
sign me up.
That's the real thing. So I maybe like a week later, I'm looking it up. I'd already missed the deadline in Evansville, Indiana, but Cincinnati was still available. So we sent in one of our basement recorded original songs. You had to send it into like the radio station, B105 in Cincinnati, which huge radio station.
Oh yeah,
and. They picked us. They picked us to be one of the four people to do a Battle of the Bands, and I had no clue what a Battle of the Bands was. I was like, "Are we really going to have to fight? Because I'm like a skinny dude.
You
got to
start working out.
I was like, I'm not going to fight these guys." So we roll over and we won, and we got to open it. The coolest thing is usually everybody else, every other stop, like you won and you had to like play the next night.
Right.
We got a month to milk the crap out of this thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And B105, which is a Clear Channel radio station, iHeart, whatever they call themselves now, they played our crappy basement tape song, original song called California Sunshine on the airwaves of Cincinnati. I'm going, man, this is a joke. This is unbelievable. And it's so bad. I listened to the recording now. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
If any label person would ever hear that, we would never, ever
get a sniff of
a record deal.
I want to talk about like how you milked this. So what was your opening line to the ladies? I mean, after this, it was like...
Donald, why are you getting a notebook out?
Hey, don't worry about this. I'm just taking notes.
My best friend was a clever son of a gun in college. And he said, "How about you put my number in your phone and just put it as Kenny Chesney? And then when you meet some girl at a bar, you say you want to talk to Kenny Chesney, just call me and I'll give me a text, give me a heads up and I'll know and I'll act like I'm Kenny Chesney."
Wow.
It's terrible.
But it...
Terrible.
Well...
I feel bad saying that. Oh my gosh. We were... Oh my gosh.
I have no comment. It worked.
It worked. But then, you know, we still played them songs. We just write them songs. We just write girl songs and...
Oh, I know.
And be like, "Hey, do you like country music?" And obviously... we would just try to play a little on the couch. We'd have late night parties and bring out the Dave Matthews Band. I mean,
there you go.
Yeah,
Crash always works.
Oh, yeah.
Crash always
Come
works.
Come on.
You and Super Sick McCarty. I was the guy.
It's my slogan.
I was watching people like y'all do what you do. Believe me, I know. I know exactly what y'all were doing. God, anyway.
Yeah. I'm not proud of myself, but I mean, like, you know, I was pretty goofy and I had to just do all the everything I could.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here?
So then
you get to open up for Kenny Chesney.
Oh yeah. So
which,
I'm thinking,
by the way, it's not a small crowd.
No, we got to play. We got our 15 minutes of fame and we milked that for all we could. I think we went 15 and a half and I got a look of like,
I mean, how many pictures did you get though while you were up there?
So much. It was so amazing, and you know, it motivated me so much too. You know, not just the opportunity, not just to, you know, it legitimized us in the Midwest.
Sure.
It helped us build a fan base even more, because we were just starting to do original music. We just start playing our own songs in the middle of these crappy cover songs. We're doing like 90s pop songs, and people be like, man, it's so cool how you make those songs country. And I'm like, what the?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to.
It just comes out that way.
Yeah. It's like,
do you do like any favorites? Gin Blossoms?
Oh, yeah, man.
Fuel.
Oh, Fuel was a little too hard for me. I never could get it as much. Yeah, but but like the Blink 182, the Matchbox 20, the Hootie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we were rocking all that stuff.
Oh, Hootie, yes.
And then, it was so much fun. That was, honestly, I don't think that I've ever had more fun than the crappy cover band days of
totally.
Going
but it
college.
Did take you from like, all right, now you're cutting yards to, hey, music is
absolutely. And I went in, I told that, you know, one of my best friends was, he hired me to do this the home mortgage thing, and to have committed to that, and he put me through these classes, and I mean, he invested some money into me,
right?
And I'm like a month and a half, 2 months into it, and I think I'd only secured like one deal. He probably hadn't even broke even yet. And
you're like, I'm moving.
I'm like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to focus all on. I just decided right then and there I was going to burn my ships.
Oh wow!
I didn't want to be a grumpy old man one day, and I took off to Nashville in my car with my guitar player, and we had these crappy manila envelopes. Crappy is a word I use a lot to describe our early days. But we had these stupid manila envelopes that we took around town all day long to all the venues, like 3rd and Lindsley, which is still, a lot of places aren't even here anymore. So, that, yeah, because this was like back in late 2008. The basement's the perfect story. So we pass everything out. I walked into the Tin Roof de Mumbry, and I'll never forget, like, because that was like a legendary place. I had heard all these great stories, and
I've been there since day one.
Really?
I was literally at Tin Roof on the Mumbry Inn the first day it opened.
So he's got a drink there.
Hey, we're not saying this on recording. Yes, I do.
Yes, we
I
are.
Do have a drink named after me, but I'm not telling you the name of it.
Why not? What's in it?
Oh,
you can say what's in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a form of it's just a form of Red Bull and vodka.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
I'll have to do that next Sunday fun day. That's always my pregame spot there. Tin Roof, and then go roll over to the doghouse to have.
I'm be honest, and I'm not saying that I'm bragging. I'm actually a little ashamed by this, but I guarantee you, I'm. This is not even an exaggeration. If I had my tab back from Tin Roof, I could retire. Yeah. I could literally retire right now.
It is scary,
but I wouldn't be where I am now.
Absolutely,
I wouldn't know who I know, have all the relationships,
sure.
And some really, really good stories. So I don't, you know.
No, you can't. I mean, experiences.
Yeah.
Experiences.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened with, like, I feel like it's the same boat, same story kind of thing. Because back to the crappy manila envelope. But so we went around all day, and then we were looking in the Nashville scene. And we're like, oh my gosh, this guy from my hometown. He took the chance and moved down to Nashville to chase his musical dream. So we went to see him play at the Basement, and after the show, I was like, yeah, man, we've been passing our stuff around town all day. He's like, cool, man, let me go introduce you to Grimey. He's over here and blah, blah, blah. And so we walk over, and he's like, hey, man, this is my buddy Clayton. He had some music, dropped off some music earlier today, and he literally reached in the trash can and pulled out our manila envelope. It didn't even open it. It wasn't even opened. It was just in the trash. I was like, wow. We wasted our day. And so I went back home to Indiana. I tucked my tail and ran, went back home, started playing college towns all over Indiana University, Miami of Ohio, Louisville, up into Purdue, up into Michigan, over into Illinois. And we just kept having fun. We had no CD. We had no nothing. It was just all about this live show and a bunch of fun. And then I started just visiting Nashville, coming back down. I didn't have any – I was broke. My parent, my dad, and my mom were like – they kind of cut me off a little bit. They were like, you've got to, we don't know what you're
doing.
They're
like, career choice, nothing. You were partying every weekend.
Yeah. They're like, my gosh, we just thought you were going to do something with your life. And so then, but I would go to the Tin Roof.
Yeah.
And it's either like you would go in and make, I mean, that's the only place that I knew to go in and make friends. You know, it's like you go in there and try to make, I didn't know anybody in town.
It is Nashville's Cheers. Mm-hmm. If as a local, well, maybe for my my group, but literally we called it home base.
Yeah.
And it really was where it did not matter if and when you did that night, everybody was going to end up there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's that place where everybody knows your name. Yeah. Or it was for me. Yeah. So, once again, oh gosh, kind of, sort of, but not as much. That's
no,
cool.
I know it is. It is a little different now. And it's a lot different because used to, if, you know, I wasn't lucky enough to get to crash on someone's couch, I slept in my car in the parking lot because I drank all my hotel money away.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow.
But it was worth it.
Yeah.
So worth it.
Like, come on.
All right. That's so great. Now you're just visiting Nashville. At what point did you move?
I've been living here for 4 years now. So okay. I kind of moved a little late. Was trying to shore things up. You know, our core fan base is in the Midwest. So I kind of stuck around up there. You know, you always come across these things in life where you got to make a change, you got to make a decision, and you just got to go for even make a further step to go for it. And the band I had back in college, I kept asking them, I was like, please step up your professionalism. Just do this. We have to, if we want to get to this next level, we at least have to act like it. And we have to be sober enough on stage to do it, you know? So I cut loose and came down here and found, it's actually funny. The girl who's in our management office today, she was working for Rascal Flatts and Turner's and Nichols and Turner management company back then. And I said, look, I'm spending so much money on hotels down here. How about I give you like $25 a night that I stay? So she was like my first. So she let me, she had a spare bedroom and she worked at the Tin Roof, which is crazy.
Hey, she was the original Airbnb.
Yeah. Actually, she was like way before. Elizabeth, you missed out on that app. You should have
totally
missed out.
Had
that
That's
app.
Billions of dollars, yes.
So I started spending so much money with her. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just should get my own place. So I did, and luckily, we just put out a CD that I'd recorded in Nashville, randomly met the producer. Or I was randomly in Atlanta playing, and this guy's like, hey, man, you should check out this guy in Nashville. We were buddies back in high school, and he works with Luke Bryan and Dallas Davidson, and he's roommates with those guys. You should check him out. And so I called him one day, and we hit it off and made a record and then came down here to promote it, and that's kind of crazy. That's like, I'm in. I'm all into Nashville.
Nice.
Do you ever have those conversations with your parents still, like they go back and you're like, remember when you said, like, what are you doing? How those conversations kind of came along and
Here
you are now.
Oh yeah.
They still ever jab you a little bit?
My mom's always like, you know, your dad didn't know what you were doing. He thought maybe you were selling drugs. He wasn't sure. You stopped asking for money. And so my mom was like, David, just let him do what he wants to do. He's not asking you for money. Just let him go.
He's not in jail yet.
Yeah. And then I had this uncle, and everybody in my family like wanted me to like do something with my life, I guess. I guess that's really what they wanted me to do, and they didn't see it. You know, they didn't see it the way that I saw it, that I was.
Well, did your family
something.
Ever see one of your shows?
Oh yeah, yeah. They're very supportive. Now this is the thing. They're very supportive. They're always supportive. They were just concerned.
Sure.
My dad is a blue collar guy
who
works a factory job, who works his ass off, his butt off overtime. Gosh dang it.
He's kidding when he says family friendly.
Yes.
Like
I was just teasing.
He's just
saw that on. I just saw that on ABC Disney last night. So they said it on there. Sorry.
Oh nice.
I got passionate. I got emotional about it.
We get it.
I say keep doing it, and then I'll fight this internal like family friendly thing. And it's just because his mom listens to it too, and want to be respectful of his mom.
Hey, we're talking about parents here.
Yeah. I get in trouble so much. My mom will be like, "You need to watch your mouth on stage."
Right. That's right.
But I'm like, I know. I don't want to embarrass you in church. So my dad works his butt off. So it's always a bit about, he just wanted to make sure that I was going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know, but they're still supportive.
Understandable. Yeah. And this story, you know, everybody that I talk to that comes in has a version of that kind of crossroads, mm-hmm. right? I was here and it was either do I make a decision or do I not type thing. Mm-hmm. And there's usually like a common theme, I think, with most artists that you know, at the end of the day, end up making it. And it's usually this, and you can say yes or no, but at the end of the day, you don't have a choice. I think the reason what I say is, like, you'd be more miserable not pursuing music. Mm-hmm. Is really what it boils down to. And it's not a positive way of saying it. It's just, I've heard that advice a lot that says, look, at the end of the day, I did even step away, but I was more miserable than I am, you know, I guess technically financially right now if I'm not making it. But I was more miserable when I was actually making money and not doing music.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, it's not a choice.
No.
Yeah, no.
It's not. It's you follow your heart, you follow your passion, and you know, to do music, to do anything that's so competitive and that a lot of people want to do, say they want to do, you have to put everything you have into it.
Yeah.
It can't be halfway in. You can't just dip your toe into it. You've just got to immerse yourself in it. And cause everything about you is the brand. It's what you're doing. It's how you're living. And, you know, everyone's path is different too. You know, everyone comes from gets to their end goal a little bit differently than the next guy. And I think as long as you keep your focus on your dream, on what you want to get there, as long as you run into so many no's in this town. I mean, you got to have a thick skin.
And I've always wondered, like, how you keep just like your confidence level up. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
Does that make sense? I mean, I feel like as an artist, when you have stage presence, confidence is huge, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you hear no so many times, it's like, to get up there and still be confident is really kind of something I think the people that make it is, they're so sure in themselves. Mm-hmm. But you have to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's why I'm happy that I came to Nashville later than most. You know, when I first came, I was like, man, I should have went to college here. I should have came here. I would have met so many more people. I would know so many more people in Nashville. But, you know, being outside of town, we created something. We built something that was the biggest yes that was the only thing that I needed. I knew we were doing something right, or people wouldn't pay money to come buy our ticket, to come see us play, to buy our CD. Now, when we put out our first record, I thought for sure, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so easy. We're just going to get a record deal. This music's amazing. It's great. The best songwriters in the world wrote these songs. It was a huge no after no after no after no. And I had no choice but to go on the road, sell it, because I had to make my money back that I put into recording it. And the reaction was phenomenal. It was great. It just kept spreading. And luckily, we were able to strike a chord with some people in the Midwest and throughout the different, even in the Southeast, when we were playing a lot in Alabama and different things. And really, we're able to help do it more of a grassroots kind of way.
Yeah, and you know, you grow in so many more ways than just actually the music. Because a lot of funny things happen on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you actually got to... you end up becoming a professional problem solver when you're on the road. We've heard some great stories. Because if you think about it, what 10% of your time is on stage?
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah, the most fun part, it's like... that, boom, gone, done.
Yeah, next... That's awesome.
Yeah, next town. All right, who's going to fix this flat? We don't have it. I mean, so many things go wrong.
I know.
Is the flat the worst thing that's happened?
A flat
tire. No, flat tire. The worst thing that's ever happened to us on the road is we had just gotten through Morgantown, West Virginia, heading to like the panhandle part of mm-hmm. Maryland, like the go
sure
that section that you got to cross the bridge to get over there that not a lot of people go to, or I had never been there. We had just gotten through Morgantown, and our van. We were driving this van that our drummer, I would lease it from him. He was the drummer. He would drive. And it just, boom, stopped. I mean, it was like smoking. And I'm like, we got to stop. So now we're an hour away from civilization. We are in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia. And I've seen the movies. Like, I was...
Delirious?
Yeah, I was terrified. We don't know what to do. So we call this guy, and he brings this big old... You know, he fixes semis on the road. He's got this big old thing. He's like, well, boys, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Let's get in here and see what we're doing. And I told my guitar player, I was like, look, if his cousin shows up and his other cousin shows up to help work on this car, I'm going to walk into that gas station. I'm going to buy as much beer as we can drink because I don't want to fill this. I do not want to fill this death. I do not want to feel this.
The banjo starts playing.
And I swear to goodness, here they came. Here came all the cousins. He had four cousins down there helping him fix this dang thing.
That's awesome.
But son of a gun, he got us on the road, and we made the show barely. I've never missed a show. I've been a little late to one of them, but I've never George Jones did. I've always made it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so but he did. He fixed that car.
We call that section Nashville. We have a problem. Yeah. Well, very cool. Hey, I got three questions because then I can't wait to get to you setting up a song and playing it for us. But these three questions I ask everybody, and it's just really just something so we can kind of get to know you a little bit more and hopefully get a little words of wisdom and all your lessons learned. How's that?
Yeah.
So regardless if we're pursuing music, maybe we are who's listening and maybe we're not, but we can take something from it. Mm-hmm. So if you could have coffee with yourself, Clayton, like knowing what you know now,
uh-huh.
Go back to when you're like, yeah, music is it. This might be around the telling your mortgage friend.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for all the money invested. I'm out. If you could have coffee with that guy, what would you tell him?
I would have told him not to hesitate. I hesitated just a little bit. Trust your gut. You know, I thought the lake has always been a place for me where I grew up on a lake. I would chill out, and that's where I did all my thinking. But you know, I just, you know, be confident in yourself.
Yeah.
And just get out there and work hard. No one's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
No one's going to hold your hand. No one's going to book this, you know, no one's going to make this easy for you. You've got a very, very, very hard road ahead. And if you want it bad enough, you can get it. You just got to outlast a few people. There's going to be other people who get things before you that you're going to be really upset about, and you're going to think that you deserve that opportunity more than they did. But cheer for them. Be happy for them that they got the opportunity.
Yeah.
And just hope and be positive and know that your chances are eventually going to come.
That's a great way of putting it. Don't hesitate. And there's a danger in hesitating, right? Like mm-hmm. how much can you either convince yourself or somebody else or things can happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Don't hesitate. If you feel it, you know it, go for it.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny too, coming from the Midwest, you know, I never looked at music. No one in our area, although we've had great, great musical talent come out. I mean, from Michael Jackson to John Mellencamp to John Hyatt to Babyface. But no one looks at it as a job.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of people, very talented people, who still sit in Indiana, who have so much talent, but they were afraid to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I first got here, I'm like, man, there's so many people from Georgia and Texas where there
is something in the water in Georgia.
They could see, you know, they see it as songwriters making money.
Yeah.
You know, it was a form of income. It was a form of how to do your life. You know, I remember Coach Wendell's one of my first friends in town, and it's like they're so good to each other. They just keep pulling each other up and through. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have any of that where I'm from.
That's awesome. Don't hesitate. It's awesome. What about the best piece of advice somebody else has given you that you kind of hang on to and lived your life by, or maybe in music?
Yeah, definitely on the musical side is a DJ back home in Southern Indiana told me, you know, she had a number one song by Reba McEntire, was close to a record deal herself. She's given me so much advice on the musical side of it. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors. I used to hang out with people at the show before we would play. I'd just be out there, hey, thanks for coming, blah, 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 blah. She's like, look, you need to go backstage. You've got to be more of a celebrity, and but I'm just so chill. It wasn't naturally my thing. Cause I treat everybody that comes to our shows as fans or as friends, you know, they're not fans. We're just hanging out together. This is just one big party. And then, you know, life lesson, I think is a guy back again in Indiana who's been a big mentor to me. You just got to treat people right. You got to take care of each other.
Yeah.
That's the finest thing ever. You know, it's just got to be good to one another. Help other people out when you can, and hopefully the good graces will come back and get you.
That's awesome. It's an interesting perspective. I think that might be a perspective that I saw a couple of friends do that I didn't really get at the time when it comes to the industry, which had something to do with the mystery factor.
Mm-hmm.
And not that it's right or wrong, so Chewy, you might want to help me say this in a better way, but it was one of that kind of, I can't totally see or figure him out, made me want more of what that was. And I think what your friend was telling you was that you being out there, there's no mystery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, when it comes to that, you have to leave the crowd wanting more.
Yeah. I was too accessible.
Yeah.
It was too...
Which, I'll tell you, you know this as well. It ain't physically sustainable at some point. So you got to take care of your body, you know. It's like, go rest.
Yeah. Is it bad that my mind went to when you asked me about that I was like, when girls like the rated R guy versus the PG-13 friend zone guy, yeah, like, he's always around and nice, and he's always saying great things and making me feel better. Or it's the guy you're like, I'm not sure about this guy, but I want to hang out and figure
all
this
the girls
out. I'm going to ask questions about him. I'm going to see who knows him because I can't figure him out.
It's totally true, you know. And I've ran into this problem in Nashville a lot when we go to meetings and different things that we've had with labels or publishers and different people in town. You know, they want something so specific. They want to find that edge, and I'm just kind of more of this all around. One, I am nice, so I do appreciate the family-friendly show because it's always been about being family-friendly to even to our audience because, one, I do have a grandma rule even when I write my songs. I'm like, she's going to be...
She go, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, she was a huge Conway Twitty fan, and we know that wasn't a real tiger he was talking about in those jeans. But you know, it's like I wrote this song on this on our new EP, Only to Borrow, called... What you get, because I'd been tired of being told, well, what's your, well, how can we sell you? What's your, well, you can sell me to anything. You can sell me to more things. Just because I'm not tatted up, or I don't have this tattoo, or just because I'm not wearing this cool chain this week. Mm-hmm. I've never been like the coolest guy, and I've never, and we spun it on a girl thing of, you know, what you see ain't always what you get, you know.
Yeah,
but
sure.
So it's, I don't know. That's been a frustrating thing. You know, you don't want to lose who you are,
right?
And that's the thing I've said about when I started. I'm just going to be me, and if it don't work, I can't have any regrets about that.
There you go. I like that. Well, then, good. Since we're getting to that, getting to really know Clayton, finish this statement. Then,
all right.
Serious, funny, weird, really doesn't matter. But Donald, if you really knew me, you would know.
Oh man, that I wanted to be. I've always been a ham, and you would know that my favorite, like my dream job, was to be the person at Disney World that was the host of the safari ride. That was like, look out for the hippo over there. And oh my gosh, there's a lion over there. And they'd also know that I'm the biggest Indiana University basketball fan of all time. Go Hoosiers.
Oh, nice.
See, I'm not getting on this train again. No. Listen. I don't even think Auburn has a basketball. Actually, I think, anyway. So
they had a good one, didn't Charles Barkley?
Back in the day. Most people listening to this weren't born yet. But yeah, sure. They were good back then. Hold on, let's get back to the Disney World. Like, I've never heard anybody go, my dream job was to be a Disney World tour.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you like to what?
That was, I don't know, something about wanting to talk in that crappy microphone thing they had. I would just like, that would be so awesome.
Huh. You could, like, do one of the tours here.
Yeah.
And, like, outside the bus. Like,
we can
do one of those.
Every time I go out in Nashville, somebody's figuring out a different way of putting four wheels on something to just drive people around.
Oh yeah, the wagon is blowing my mind.
Mm-hmm. With the tractor pulling the wagon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, how is that even legal?
And then there's a convertible bus. There's that now.
Oh yeah. My goodness. We need to do something like in the springtime when it gets back to nice. We need to join efforts we'll give a bunch of prizes away, bring some people to Nashville, and we'll ride it. Ride
Should
around
we
on
put
those
that
things.
In the notes? And then, to do, yeah.
And then I will get to be the. I
but
wanna,
you have to dress up like they did in Disney, though. Like that's the only caveat. Yeah. You can't listen. If it's a dream come true, in that regard, you got to do it. You
we're
do
not.
It right,
we're but, not hesitating.
I'm hesitating. Listen,
you open the door. And we just kicked it.
But since I've been back as a kid, as an adult, I was like, oh my gosh, I would never want to wear that outfit.
Okay. Ever. Well, you know, here's the thing.
But you know, if I'm going to do it, I got to go all out.
That's right.
We got a couple months.
Yeah.
And we'll convince you at Tin honest. Roof one night and put it in writing.
Oh gosh. An adult, let's be honest, is being subjective a little bit. So. That's awesome, man. Well, hey, so next up, thanks for coming in, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So much fun and looking forward to now just, I don't know, you play whatever you want. I know you're new single and you have an EP out now.
I think
your new single right now is, you want to play that one or what?
I think we should play, I want to play my favorite song that I've ever written, which is on this record called, and it's called Only to Borrow. The EP's called Only to Borrow, and this is the song. It's about young love and, you know, being a senior in high school when you're getting ready to leave town. You know you're never going to be back together. You're both going to go your separate ways. And so it's kind of surrounds that story, and that I think everybody's got some kind of, they get that. But
when did you write this one?
I wrote that with Scooter Caruso in town, who's my favorite songwriter. He wrote Anything But Mine by Kenny Chesney, which is still one of my favorite country songs. And we wrote that 2 years ago. So this is the crazy thing. So we put out an album in 2014, mm-hmm. February of 2014. And when, you know, we had a lot of success off of it, and we had, you know, some interest from, you know, a lot of interest in town. Even Justin Timberlake was really excited about it and liked the music a lot. So we were kind of waiting around on some things. And finally, because we have such a big fan base, I was like, they need some new music. So we kind of went rogue, man. We went out to LA. I flew out to LA, recorded this stuff, brought it back to Nashville, hooked up with some friends, and we put some pixie dust on it. And I think it's the best stuff I've got. We, you know, I've been told that this song could win a Grammy. Yeah. Obviously there's a lot of steps to getting it out to the people to win a Grammy, so we'll see. And so I think we should definitely play that one, and then I think we should play, and I've had no intention to do this, but, and I probably don't even know if I remember all the words, but I think we should play that song that got us the Kenny Chesney deal.
Done.
Oh yes,
2008.
Yes, absolutely
huge.
Like
absolutely.
It could be bad, but can we edit it? Can we edit? Can I have it. A couple hey, chances?
Listen, yeah.
Does it have to be live?
Well, a couple things. First off, a bunch of steps to get it to be a Grammy. This is, you know, being on the show is probably the right first step.
Absolutely. Heck yeah.
Saying, right? Can I get, all right.
Can I get a name in?
Well, I'm fired up to hear it. So we'll do a little technical switch up here and have you play it.
Cool.
But thanks so much for coming in, man. Let's. I know you have a huge fan base already, but let's tell everybody how to follow you and find you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can just Google Clayton Anderson. I'm not the astronaut, although he is my friend.
You know,
I mentioned that.
Literally, right before you got here, he goes, should we mention, do you think it'll bother him?
Oh, heck no. We go back and forth on Twitter. One of my buddies, he coaches at Nebraska. He lives out in Nebraska. He's from that area. And one of my friends just went out there to be a part of their basketball team on their coaching staff. So I'm like, dude, I'm coming to a game because we've got to meet each other. We've got to like do something yeah. crazy.
Oh,
you know,
that's awesome.
Because I like first Google thing and the picture pops up of an astronaut. And I was like,
yeah,
he's going to take him over soon. But like, if you're if that's going to be the guy that pops up, you're like, he's an astronaut.
Yeah,
like, okay. Which is not bad.
No, I've got more hair. I've got more hair. But no, you can find us there. You can. It's our website's ClaytonAndersonOfficial.com, where you can find all of our shows, upcoming shows, and then you can also find us on Instagram and Twitter at Clayton Anderson. Which my Twitter live stream is pretty good. All about the Instagram though.
Oh, love it.
Instagram. And then you can find us on Snapchat, which I really take a lot of pride in that too, at CA-music.
So you got a strong social media game.
Yeah, you got to. Gotta be flown.
All right, Clayton Anderson. Why do I want to say Sanders?
That's all right.
Is there a football player for the Titans back in the day?
Bob Sanders.
Clayton Sanders.
Won that championship for
the
Colts.
I think there was back in the day. Clayton Anderson. No, it's not Sanders. Clayton Anderson, what are you playing for us? You're going to play two, right?
Yeah, yeah, if we got time.
Absolutely. I love this. All right, and so your first song, set that up for us, and then go from there.
Yeah, this song's called Only to Borrow, which is the title track of our EP. And it's that song that I was talking about earlier that I've been told that could win a Grammy. So we're just trying to make that dream a reality. You know what's funny is like when I never even thought, ever, that was never even like a dream because it seems so unreachable, you know, like playing the Grand Ole Opry, that's a dream. Winning a CMA, that's a dream. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool to think about.
We'll play it up.
All right. Billy Cotton brings scholarship out of state.
Summer's about gone, but the cold stone wait. It's his last cold beer, last night around here in this town. Chevy's got a Chevy sitting out on the curb. She's church pew, pretty, perfectly curved, with the dashboard dimmed and the radio hymns up loud. Some nights you chase, some nights you follow. Hold on to me, let go tomorrow when it all ends. Don't feel no sorrow, it ain't meant to last. Won't let them borrow. So they drove around looking for this local band. Put a $5 cover charge stamp on her hand. Laughing and drinking and dancing come closing time. They knew they couldn't stay but couldn't go home. And once the sun came up, it'll all be gone. So they dice a couple cops heading out to the county line. Some nights you chase, some nights you follow. Hold on to me, letting go tomorrow when it all ends. Don't feel no sorrow, it ain't meant to last. Won't let them borrow. There were stars in her eyes, moonlight on her skin. Tucked back out of sight, place neither had been. Freddie G's on the floor, steam on the glass. They were almost there when it stopped to ask. And she said, some nights you chase, some nights you follow. Hold on to me, letting go tomorrow when it all ends. Don't feel no sorrow, it ain't meant to last. No, it ain't meant to last. Some nights you chase, some nights you follow. Hold on to me, letting go tomorrow when it all ends. Don't feel no sorrow, it ain't meant to last.
I'm glad you didn't listen to your parents.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Oh, I love thanks, that song. I thank see why you. It's one thank of your you. Favorites, thank too, dude.
Thanks.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
God. Whew. It's really kind of surreal, like all the songs that I get to hear. And I always hear these songs after you tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's funny to me always is how close a lot of these songs maybe came to never being written.
Yeah.
Because of how close so many people decided, maybe like one decision, right? One decision off and you don't do music.
Yeah, I have. I mean, the one decision off of like even getting to write with Scooter to write that song, you know? I mean, like he's such a big songwriter. Had Joe Fisher at Universal not been like, hey, I might have something for you, and then starts throwing me out there to these big writers, like they don't need to write with me, they're gonna write with everybody. It's got a deal that's gonna make him a lot of money, you know? So
yeah, I love Joe Fisher.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's one of the nicest dudes ever.
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, phenomenal song. But this is one you're gonna play next that you laugh, but it literally probably was single-handedly the reason why you are here.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, honestly, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
when
absolutely.
Is that? When's the last time you've played this?
Oh, man, probably like 3 years ago, maybe.
Nice.
I love it.
Maybe, and that's that was great. That was somebody bought it at an auction, like that we were doing some charity event. They're like, I want you to hear that song. I'm like, wow, you're dedicated. You're a dedicated fan. It was
awesome. So this is the song that won the contest to get you to open up for Kenny Chesney.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so, what's the name of it?
It's called California Sunshine.
You gonna tell us how you wrote it?
I wrote it when I was supposed to be studying at Indiana University. There, we have a huge library, and if you go up to the top floor, there's nothing but people making out or nothing at all. And
I love those libraries.
Yeah, and I just started scribbling down some stuff, and it was about an old girlfriend a long, long time ago who, back in college, she went to California for a summer. So this was kind of leading up to that. That point.
I love it.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
All right. And got nothing but time today. Hey, baby, let's run away. Find a dream and make it true. That's what I want with you. 18 and nothing to lose when it comes down to it. So much to choose. 7 years, oh, it seems so long ago. So long ago. California sunshine in your head. I've got you everywhere. In my mind, in my heart, you will always be California sunshine to me. Time I stopped to remember the very first night, how I felt about you, how I wanted to hold you tight, sneak away for a little kiss, tell each other we can't do this, tell each other we can't do this. California sunshine in your hair, I've got you everywhere. In my mind, in my heart, you will always be California sunshine to me. I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Wear my six shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive. Seeing the young girls' hearts. And just like Gene and Roy, sing those campfire songs. Oh, I should have been a cowboy. We keep moving on with a love that's growing strong. I forgot the last words. It just did. I can't believe I made it through this far. Yeah. California sunshine in your head. I've got you everywhere. In my mind, in my heart, you will always be California sunshine to me. California sunshine in your head. I've got you everywhere. In my mind, in my heart, you will always be California sunshine to me. California sunshine, California sunshine, California sunshine to me.
Yep.
Yeah. Man, I got to that second verse. I was like, I don't know. Oh, there it is.
Hey, that's I can totally great. See why Kenny Chesney loved that song. Yeah. That's a Kenny song. You knew what you were doing.
Yeah. It was.
That's awesome.
Wow, I can't believe we pulled that one out today.
Hey,
that was impressive.
Hey, three we call that, we want you to do something exclusive. That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for doing that for us. That's
absolutely. Nervous, man. I'm sweating over here.
No. No, I love it. Well, Clayton Anderson, man, thanks so much for coming on, dude.
Absolutely.
It means
thank
a
you
lot.
For having us.
Because I hope I get people in here, and then I always tell, I have you on recording, can I get you back someday?
Absolutely, man.
Because I know you're going to blow up, and you're going to be that kind of untouchable type artist, but I don't want to be that person that you're like, no, I'm not going back. You're like, hey, when can I go hang out with like Super Sick McCarty and Donald? That's what I want, right?
Absolutely.
But now man. We have you in recording.
And I said so, yes. I mean, and no, honestly, stuck. Man, this was a lot of fun.
I love it. It really was.
Yeah, I think you guys are doing a great job. I mean, it's so cool. I think so many people want to hear these stories about, it's not just about music. You know, this is even behind the scenes of
right?
the music, you know?
Well, we enjoy it, and we definitely appreciate you telling us.
Absolutely.
So, hey, thanks for coming in, and excited to watch kind of where you're going to go, man.
Uh-huh. So come on with it.
See ya. Thanks, guys.
This has been It's Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.